Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Welcome to Elton and John's La Liga Weekly as the Setien era begins perfectly. 1,000 passes, 82% possession. Ricky Puig starting a team wonder goal, finished by Messi. If they play against 10 men every week, they'll be unstoppable. It was all so much better than those tryhards over at the Bernabeu, who only had 54% possession. You can't win the league like that, it's scientific fact. Actually, if you want real class, try Mallorca, who thumped Valencia. Unfortunately, there were less than 9,000 fans there because it was raining. Lots of empty seats also watched Villarreal lose as Espanyol continue to resurge with a goal on his La Liga return. But Raul de Tomas, are we sure there's nothing illegal about that much hair gel? The ball must sweat off his head quicker. Up the bottom eight, only Leganés lost. What hurts more is it was at home to their nasty South Madrid rivals, Getafe. Boo! There's an eight-point chasm between second and third after Atleti rolled over at Eibar. What a farmer's league. You'd never see that sort of imbalance in, say, England. Terry Gibson is in Barcelona, where Germán Sánchez did Quique Setién a big favour. Now, Terry, 90 minutes is quite early to be making any kind of firm conclusions, but it's never stopped us before, so let's fire away. One game in, obvious changes in what Quique Setién was doing. Having said that, they sort of squeaked home in the end. What's your verdict?
I think it's a step in the right direction. And from what I can gather, the Barcelona supporters are happier that it's leaning more towards their traditional style than what we saw from Ernesto Valverde. So it was evident immediately from the beginning that the shorter range of passing, the wind, I have to say, is incredible. I'm not making excuses for world-class players, but just literally walking down the street is really difficult. So that has to be taken into consideration. But, to 80% possession, I don't know when that happened before. You know, it certainly hasn't happened for a while. Busquets as well was a completely different player. There are players that are going to take longer to adjust to. I think Rakitic is going to take a little bit of time to get used to it. But I think in general, it's going to need fine-tuning, of course. We're talking about a manager that took his first training session on Wednesday. So to get that difference in style of performance in that short space of time suggests to me that the players are embracing it. Some want to go back to that style, and some, like Griezmann, for example, will want to experience it for the first time.
And Ricky Puig, he made an impact on the game. The Barcelona fans are desperate for some young, locally produced talent to come into the team. So he came in and he just added some energy, didn't he? And it was a fabulous goal that they scored. You know, if that's what all the Setien welcomers want to see, isn't it? A goal made like that, scored like that.
Yeah, he was fun to watch. I must admit, Ricky Puig, when he was brought on, I thought, this is a lot of responsibility on a young player. I mean, he looks a lot younger than he actually is. I think he's 20 years old. He looks about 11. But you're not sending him on when you're 3-0 up. It wasn't a testimonial match. It was 0-0 when he came on. So he was sent on to do a job ahead of Artur Melo. So it was a big ask. But you can see why he knows more about Ricky Puig than we do, obviously, and it's smacked with someone who's not just been impressed by a player in the 3 or 4 days they've had together. Quique Setién would have known about Ricky Puig and trusted him to come on. And he was fun to watch. I mean, he did all the classic moves, passes, touches of a Barcelona player, Barcelona midfield player. And the biggest compliment I can pay to him is that Messi passed to him so many times. So the trust was there for Messi that there was a young player that was coming on that he feels is up to the standard and can do more than just a good job for Barcelona. So we have to temper it with, don't get too carried away, but you know what we saw in that game, as I say, he was fun to watch.
Now, the front three, so Griezmann, Messi and Ansu Fati, how were they lined up? What labels could you put on the position in which they played?
I don't think we have to. I think it's because they played so close together. No one was playing on the wing. Probably Fati was the example of the widest one, wasn't he? He stuck to his position pretty much wide on the right. We'll see how that pans out. But on the left, Jordi Alba was the most attacking player down the flank on the left. I was bemoaning the fact that Sergio Roberto didn't really push on. And they could have done. When you've got 80-odd% possession and you've got, you're playing against a team with one up front, you only need two to stay back at the very most. So I was surprised Sergio Roberto didn't push on. But I think with Fati and Griezmann and Messi, they were playing narrow. The one will be moving around in the centre forward position. The other two will be rotating and playing, as I said, that inside forward position, leaving the space for the flank, on the flanks for the fullbacks. So that's, you know, Setién style. I mean, somehow they've got to make up for Suarez not being there. We assumed it would be Griezmann down the middle. If I was pushed, I would probably say it was more like Messi down the middle, Griezmann slightly to the left.
Do you think they will sign anybody in the January window?
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think it's going to blow everyone away with it's not going to be Neymar, for instance, or Mbappe. But I think when you looked at the bench tonight, I mean, there's no guarantee when Dembele comes back, he's going to last the rest of the season. So I think it would be wise to spend money on a striker, or money in big money in terms of a loan to get them, cover them, you know, through to the end of the season. But it has to be better than what they did last year. We joked about Kevin Prince-Boateng. It has to be someone who genuinely could come in if there's injuries and they're in the Champions League semi-final and do a good, solid job.
I think we'll leave it there for Barcelona, Terry. I mean, I don't want to draw too firm a conclusion. It was good, wasn't it? It was all right. You know, Granada are a good team to play against.
I agree totally with you. Granada put up a really good fight. And you know, what do we expect from Setién in 3, 4, 5 days? I think what we saw, if an early goal had come and Granada had crumbled and it'd been 4 or 5 nil, yeah, that kind of fits the bill with what they've done at most home games this season. But I think to get his point across shows enthusiasm for the players that they want to play that type of football again. We can't judge it in one game, but it was a sign that you could see he was getting his point across.
And so by no contrast at all, really, Real Madrid also won relatively narrowly in the end against Sevilla. So Casemiro was the hero of their 2-1 win over Sevilla. Tell me about Casemiro's performance first of all then, Terry.
But you know what? There was no Benzema from the start. There was no Sergio Ramos. One or two other players missing. And Casemiro, I think he's been excellent this season. People who listen to the podcast know that I've not always been his biggest fan because I've seen weaknesses in his game that people have chosen to ignore. And now he's at the age of 27. And by and large in the past, when he's been disciplined, he's been outstanding. He's been excellent for Real Madrid. But I think now the penny has finally dropped that he's not Toni Kroos, that he's not Luka Modric. And I think it's a sign of maturity that he does the right thing at the right time now. So if it needs a defensive holding midfield performance, that's what he'll do. And then on top of that, talking about Ramos missing, Benzema, the leadership qualities that not only him, Varane showed it last week. So it's a benefit to Zinedine Zidane now that someone like Casemiro his job is to recognise danger and also recognise problems. And the problem yesterday was Real Madrid as they have done for a few weeks now, have struggled to score goals. So Varane got a couple last week. Casemiro gets himself into the box. A driving run, wins the ball back. A little give and go with Jovic. Finished like a world-class striker. And the second one, it's a straightforward centre midfield player working hard to get himself in the penalty area for a cross and goal, and he gets a header in. So he's much improved. Is it a coincidence that he's improved again on the return of Zidane? Probably not. I'm more than willing to say I'm having a change of opinion on Casemiro because he's maturing and developing into, you know, the player he should be now.
Now, no Gareth Bale involved. Now, are you reading anything into that? Or is that a leftover? Because he was ill, wasn't he, for the Spanish Super Cup? Or is that just a leftover of that, do you think?
Yeah, no, we checked it out. And he's trained a week. And he had a little moan that no one had said anything to him. So I don't know whether he just didn't get the email and was invited to be in the squad yesterday. It's a bit of a mystery. And do you know what? The thing out here is no one seems to really care anymore. You know, it's not making big news. And it should do. But they're not bothered. Real Madrid are winning games. Younger players are coming in. Gareth Bale's involved for 2 or 3 weeks. Then he's not for another 2 or 3 weeks. I don't know whether people are not bothered about it or they're just accepting it now that this is the situation. It's going to be like it until he leaves now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes. Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
So it's an impromptu break there, but we are here now. One last question on Real Madrid-Sevilla game. Sevilla's camp, Monchi, said afterwards, Terry, that they felt that they got the rough end of refereeing decisions. Is that fair?
Yep, I think it's actually interesting. I mean, personally, I would allow both of the goals that Sevilla are talking about. The first one, I don't think there is a significant movement that's enough to make Militao claim that there's a block. Sometimes you see those, John, when there's set pieces coming in, attackers or defenders, they're not even looking at the ball. And I think Gudelli on that case was looking at the ball and he stepped half a step to his left. You're not obliged to get out of the way. And I think Militao went down holding his face when it's clear he hadn't been hit in the face. So personally, I don't think it's the biggest injustice in football, but I think I would have seen that given. And then the second one where there's the handball for Munir, by the letter of the law, it should be disallowed. I don't agree with the law, but the law of the game now, widely used, if it makes any contact with a hand and it benefits an attacking player in order to go and score a goal, and that clearly touched his hand on twice. One of them, Varane's kicked the ball onto an arm where a player's down on the floor. I don't think it's a handball, but according to the laws that we have now. So it was kind of a weird one. Also, should VAR get involved? Is it too busy at times, VAR? Gets involved where it shouldn't sometimes.
Who knows?
There wouldn't be a penalty, would it, if a defender had blocked an attacker in that manner? It wouldn't be a foul. Because if it was, we'd get 10 penalties a game.
The worst thing, two terrible things about it. One is the offside law. And the second one is the handball, attacking handball. That rule when they thought of that rule, they weren't thinking about VAR, I think.
No.
They were thinking about obvious things. It's just ridiculous that you're seeing goals disallowed for that kind of thing. So, in a sense, justice was done. We got common sense, but not consistency this time.
Exactly.
Because people always... It does my head in, Terry, when people say, we want common sense, we want consistency. You think, well, the two things are different. If you're asking people to use their judgment, it won't be the same every time. You won't get exactly the same outcome every time. So, you know,
some people have more common sense than others, obviously.
Yes. Let's crack on because we're sorry to the listeners, but we're slightly up against the time in terms of studio availability. Before Terry gets kicked out of La Liga
Media
TV.
Pro. Yeah, yes. I'm locking up tonight.
Atleti. Oh, dear me. This was just poor, wasn't it? But by them away to Eibar, losing 2-0?
Oh, it's worse than poor. Losing to Eibar 2-0 away, it's the first time Eibar have ever beat them. 2-0, it was... There was five Eibar first-team players missing. The two players that scored the goals... wouldn't normally be playing for Eibar. They, you know, you're looking at Pepe Diop and Gonzalo Escalante, your normal midfield pairing. Two of even Ramis, Albia, or Paulo Oliveira. All three of those were missing. So it was the nature of the defeat, the nature of the performance. Right from the very first few minutes of the game, there seemed to be a total lack of desire from Atletico. They found themselves back in the title race, 5 points away, and we get a performance like that. The front three in particular wound me up. Probably if people listen to my commentary during the game, they probably sensed my frustration from seeing Morata, Correa and João Felix playing as they did. It was woeful. Massive, massive disappointment. And Eibar fully deserved the win. Credit to them. Talk about the players missing, the run they've been on, the season they're having, and they thoroughly deserved to beat Atletico.
Other slightly shocking results. Well, slightly shocking is either shocking or it's not. Other shocking results. Mallorca 4, Valencia 1. What a performance by Mallorca in, as I say, how many were there? I think there's less than 9,000, wasn't it? So I know it's very stormy. I know the winds were, but they're heavy. But I suppose that just shows you it's not having many season ticket holders makes you vulnerable to bad weather. Having said that, Mallorca played well in the terrible conditions.
Brilliant, right from the start. As well as they played, as bad as Valencia played. Remember I said about Valencia in the Super Cup, looked like Real Madrid playing their reserves in a kickabout friendly. And after the game today, some of the Valencia players are, they're complaining about the level of their performance. Same as Sal did after the Atletico game, but they're part of it. Sal's part of it. Danny Parejo is part of it. Gaia is part of it. The players... You can't just go out after a game and say, yeah, we've been rubbish the last two games. We don't know what's happening, but it's not my fault. I'm coming out speaking to you. You're all part of it. And the drop-off in Valencia's performance levels has been drastic because, you know, last week we were talking about, I thought Eibar were unlucky not to get anything in the 1-0 defeat against Valencia. Last week, the last round of league fixtures. Then they were dreadful against Real Madrid. Then they were absolutely diabolical against Mallorca. So it's a big shock. I mean, Ante Budimir, 8 goals for a team that's struggling to win games is an excellent achievement. So, yeah, that came out of the blue, that result. Didn't see that at all. I mean, it was 3 early goals as well. It was that game was wrapped up pretty early. So a smashing win for Mallorca. Life at the bottom is certainly getting interesting again.
And so another emphatic victory, this time in front of 51,000 and some more fans. Betis 3, Real Sociedad 0. So Real Sociedad falling into that category of teams that just can't achieve any kind of consistency.
Yeah, they need some older players. I looked at their team, studied their team. No Monreal, he's injured. And no Iarramendi, who's been out for a while. And then when you look at the rest of the players... you're looking at someone like Diego Llorente, who's about 26, who's one of the older players. Paul Tu is probably only second, third year in the division. William Jose didn't start the game. It was another young player, Alexander Isak. So they need Yaramendi back. And I think they could do worse than go out and buy one of these 30-year-old La Liga centre-backs just to come in and help them through. We saw the benefits of bringing Nacho Monreal back to the club. Unfortunately, he's injured. But I just looked at the team against Betis, and when it got the tough, when the going got tough, it was they didn't have the experience to pull themselves through it. So it's tough on them at the moment, and for Betis, certainly heading in the right direction. And thankfully, that again this season, despite the change of manager, they're good to watch, scoring goals. Iglesias, I think he's terrific. I really like watching him play. He's mobile, dynamic, strong, aggressive, good in the air. I think he's got a lot to offer. Joaquin with another goal, which is ridiculous. And Sergio Canales, who's slightly been overlooked in terms of how he's influential he is now at Real Betis.
And another team that actually is probably the one that consistently punches its weight or above is Getafe. So the South Madrid derby, passionate game, but an absolute thumping, 3-0 away from home at Leganés.
Yep, and me tipping Leganés live on television to win the game 10 minutes before kickoff. Yep, no, I expected the Leganés that have been playing well, and I can't accept that it's because Youssef En-Nesyri was sold that the players played in that manner. It was a massive gulf in class, and fair play to Bordalás, the style that he played. Alan Neom had an entertaining 30 minutes, got booked, scored a goal, and got substituted. Because he was winding up the Leganés supporters. Having been booked, it was a dot on the card that he was going to get a second. So Bordalás took him off and brought back Genicaro Etebo, who we used to like when he was at Las Palmas. Couldn't do it on a Tuesday night at Stoke, so he's come back to La Liga. Been waiting years to say that one. And it was, yeah, I mean, aerial power was the main issue for Getafe. With the goals that they scored, Cabrera, which is an interesting player, Neom, and Jaime Mata with a straightforward goal after some brilliant work from Jorge Molina to set him up. But I don't know, Leandro Cabrera, have you heard the news that he's signed for Espanyol?
Yes. So let's
strange one.
Well, shall we crack on with Espanyol in that case? Because they spent 20 million on RDT, as he is allowed to be known in La Liga, but not in the Europa League.
And another 9 million
on Cabrera now. Apparently they paid his buyout clause, haven't they? So this just now. And they won 2-1 away. I mean, the great escape is on. And it's just weird, isn't it, the spending? I mean, it's good if it keeps them up, you know, all power to them. But when the owners came in, they talked about, oh, Champions League in 3 seasons and all of this nonsense. Barely spent a penny in the transfer market. Oh, and it seemed that they were waiting for waiting until they were seemingly hopeless and cut adrift at the bottom of the league.
And now they're not. So, I mean, they've given themselves a chance. Do you fancy him to stay up? I think with Abelardo, he's immediately had an impact. A draw against Barcelona, a win away from home against Villarreal. They did well to hold on at the end. And it was important they held on, because if they've had two really good performances and only got 2 points, then there would still be a drift. The belief would have ebbed away. But now on the back of a draw against Barcelona, a win at Villarreal, who have been in good form, and they look a good team. You know, it's an experienced team, players playing in their right position. And all of a sudden, Realdo Thomas must have joined that football club and looked at the performance of the game today. They're all celebrating like nutters, winning away from home against Villarreal. And he's probably thinking, why they should have won more games than they have done this season. What's the issue? But it's a leap of faith from Realdo Thomas and Leandro Cabrera to join a team heavily threatened still by relegation.
Celta Vigo got a point. So it's a useful point away from home at Athletic, isn't it, for Celta Vigo? But in the context of everybody else in the bottom eight and what they did this weekend, they're still stuck in the mire, still in the relegation zone.
We're now looking at 2 points above Espanyol. So we thought Espanyol were out of it and dead and buried. You know, Espanyol 14, Leganés 14, Celta 16, Mallorca winning 18 points. So the results have certainly closed the gap up. And you look above them, Eibar beat Atletico. So it's been an interesting weekend at the bottom of the division. And it's going to continue, isn't it? I mean, it's Celta. They were lucky to get the point. The goalkeeper, Ruben Blanco, had a worldie.
Oh, he did, didn't he? Yeah.
Athletic Bilbao looked as if they could still be there now and probably wouldn't score. So they eventually got a penalty. It would have been an injustice, I think, if Athletic hadn't got something from that game and probably should have won it, in all fairness.
And two more games, only one more goal between the two of them. So Alex Vidal with the only goal for Alaves and their win at Levante, and a 0-0 between Osasuna and Valladolid.
Yep, they had, Osasuna had 7 shots on goal, all came from Jimmy Avila. So as an idea, get someone else to help him out. So that was, both of those teams are edging their way to safety slowly but surely. It's 6 without a win for Osasuna now, 8 without a win for Valladolid. But they're both happy with the point. And the other game was Levante 0, Alaves 1. Alex Vidal, who's upset his manager and his teammates in the last week, complaining about the manager's tactics when he was right. And by complaining, there was a change of attitude from SEA Garitano, and his team bloody attacked. And look what happened. They won 1-0. It should have been 3 or 4-0. Ita Fernandez had a blinding goal for Levante, who were awful. They were all over the place. It was much better. And Camarasa changed the dynamic of that starting 11 completely. Instead of having Wakaso Mubarak and Manu Garcia or Thomas Pino, who's out in long-term injured now, and having two warriors in midfield that work hard and aggressive and are hard to play against, all of a sudden you have Manu Garcia and Camarasa knocking the ball about, Camarasa running into the opposition penalty box, and it worked a treat. So bit of a mystery why it never worked out, why he never got playing time at Palace, but certainly a good addition for Alaves.
It's another one of those transfer windows where basically clubs just re-sign players who've been away earned a lot of money and then have come back. One last question then. Chimi Avila, Terry. I know we've talked about him many times before. Can you see what we got left in the transfer window? 11 days, I think, as we speak. Can you see him going? Will they hold on to him at Osasuna?
Well, the same with Youssef En-Nesyri. If someone comes and pays the buyout clause, you've got no choice. So Leganés didn't choose to sell Youssef En-Nesyri. So they sell him for 20. Chimi Avila's buyout clause, I'm led to believe, is 25. I can't imagine why anyone wouldn't pay that. For Osasuna, you can talk about the impact of En-Nesyri leaving Leganés. I don't think it's a massive impact. He's got 4 goals. They're, he's not the reason, because he left. I mean, they didn't lose 3-0 at home to Getafe because the centre-forward had left. But I think if Chimi Avila left Osasuna, that would be devastating. If they got enough points in the bank, they're not a million miles away from it. They need some more. But I think from Osasuna's point of view, I hope they don't lose him, because they've been good to watch, and he'll keep them in the division. If he goes, it'll be a problem. But I don't see any reason why someone wouldn't pay the 25 million clause to buy Chimi Avila.
So are you, let's be honest now to our La Liga fans who are listening, are you actively recommending, if someone rings you up and says, tell me a good centre-forward, are you saying, yeah, go on, pay the 25 million for Chimi Avila?
If I was Barcelona, I'd do it.
Yeah.
At 25 million. I would do it if I was Barcelona. I want him to stay in La Liga. If someone asked me in the Premier League, I'd say, no, don't even think about it, because I want him to stay in Spain. No, but if someone asked me your genuine opinion on him, 25 million, today's market, 100%. So it's, but fingers crossed, Osasuna fans, that he is a one-man attack at the moment. At the weekend, it was incredible. I mean, it was shot after shot. And, Masip was making save after save. And you saw at the first time a little bit of frustration at the final whistle. And it was almost the look of, Christ, I need some help. I mean, he's up against 3 central defenders. Vidal had played 3 at the back. He was on his own and had pretty much every attempt at goal that Osasuna had.
Right, Terry, have a safe journey back from Barcelona. We've got a round of cup games coming up in the week, haven't we? So good luck finding those. It depends. You might be in Spain, in which case you can pay your money and go and watch a game. But everybody else, good luck. And then we're back with another round of La Liga next weekend. Highlights including Valencia versus Barcelona. Although, again, I'm afraid if you're in the UK, you can't watch that one while it's going out. But you can catch it later on La Liga TV. And the Sunday night game, Valladolid, Real Madrid, all of that. And then we'll have another podcast and round up all of those games. So we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.